Oh, it's a good day to die. To yourself. Amen? To yourself. You know, we pick up strange things when we're kids and so forth. And we have a habit to bringing them into the present, things of our past. And sometimes things just don't make sense. But when they don't make sense, you got to trust God. Amen. And when I was a kid, I used to love to drive in the convertible, sit in the back seat, the wind blowing and everything. And so my family and my dad's friends, they would drive to they would go to the beach on Sundays if it was nice out. Lived in up north, it wasn't too many times we got the opportunity. And on the way there, it was very wild because we would pass cows. You know, we'd pass animals. But there would always be big herds of cows we'd bypass. And I was always told as from 4 years old that if the cows were standing, it was going to be a nice day. And if they were laying down, it was going to rain. And it stayed with me for years. And let me tell you, if they were standing, it was beautiful out. If they were laying down, it was raining. It would rain. And it happened every time. So as I grew up and I was going to the beach or whatever, even living in Florida, if I drove by a herd of cows and they were laying down, it was like, it's going to rain sometime today. And I don't know if that is a protection why they lay down to keep themselves warm or whatever during the storm. I don't know what it is. So the last few times we were driving and the cows were laying down, I said to Shane, it's going to rain. Well, it didn't rain. And it happened again. And I'm driving it this morning. They were laying down. I'm like, is it going to rain, Lord? I said, how crazy we are when we're kids and we pick up all these things and our elders impart these things, you know. I said, I don't know what, you know, whatever. You know, it doesn't really matter, you know. You have the last say. So while we were worshiping today, he answered me. And he said to me, because they're laying down doesn't mean it's not raining. He said, you're looking physically. Now I want you to look spiritually. It is raining everywhere. It is raining everywhere. I thought, wow. Now, think about this. He's raining glory. He's raining the anointing. He's raining fire. He's raining judgment. Look at all over the world, the whole world. It's raining everywhere. Everywhere. He says he rains on the just and the unjust. Amen. So it is raining everywhere. We are in a time of season of great pouring out rain. He says, look, just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. You know, we're so accustomed to relying on what we see, even though we decree it, and we know what the truth is, looking beyond the things of vision and sight, of physical. But there is that veil behind on that we've got to understand more. That's called prophetic insight, isn't it? We need to have more prophetic insight. One of our spiritual sons who happened to pop in the other night, we haven't seen him. He came through our program 20-something years ago. And he's a youth pastor and so forth in another church, and he's been traveling and so forth, him and his family. He said the Lord sent him to a church that is deader than a doornail. He said he can't stand it. He's done everything he could to try and get people off of their seats except for start them on fire. I said, well, do it. And he's the worship leader too. He says, "Man, he says, I just can't get anybody to do anything." So he came to come to a Friday night service, but we didn't have one. He should have called ahead of time. But he came to the round table and just got refreshed. He said it was so wonderful with being around people that were like-minded, spirit with the fear of God, and fear of the Lord. He says, it's so dead where I'm at. I can't take it. I got to find a way of escape. I've been praying. He says, are you ready to take me home yet? I said, soon. You'll be returning after the first year as the Lord begins to gather all those that have been scattered. They're coming back. Because great things are about to happen after the first of the year. Oh, hallelujah. So in this, all of this, one of the things that's happening is we're going through the trials and tribulations, the shaking and the quaking, and the carving. We're being carved out more and more and more into Christ's image and likeness, being crushed more, being restored more, getting on the potter's wheel. Things are happening more and more and more. But know that while we're going through what we're going through, there's some other things going on in the unseen realm beyond the veil. See, the battle doesn't begin here, it begins there. It manifests in the physical realm, but it's actually originated from the spirit realm. So all these wars and all these things that you're seeing are manifested because it's already started in the spirit realm, where principalities, powers of darkness, wickedness in heavenly places, territorial spirits and fallen angels and all kinds of, they're battling one another, and it's manifesting in the physical realm. See, because they have control. There's that control. Remember, Daniel prayed, and the angel of the Lord showed up. He said, man, it took me how many days? 21 days to get to you. 21 days to get to you. But for him, it was like 5 minutes for the angel. But for Daniel, it was 21 days because of the difference of time sequence. And in that, what was he fighting? He was fighting the principalities and powers of darkness to get a message to Daniel. But in our physical realm, it took 21 days. But in the spirit realm, it was like 5-10 minutes. It was a battle, not a war. It was a battle. And then when he came, he said, look it, I need to go back. I'm going to give you the message. I need to go back. Right now, I've been relieved by Michael, the archangel. And I got to go back and continue. So see, these things have been going on. They're going on. So what you see physically is actually probably double the amount of battle spiritually. But remember, these hosts, these demons that are hosts in human bodies are being influenced by the unseen rulers, the principalities, powers of darkness, strong men, territorial spirits that are influencing them all the time. They're carriers of darkness. They can't see. They're blinded. Their desire is to conquer and not love. Their fulfillment is nothing but conquering, taking territory, taking possession with no true cause behind it. It's evil. It's wicked. It's demonic. And it's coming to an end. But in this, there are those who are seeing this, are awakening. It's a shame that all of this has to happen for humanity to awaken. But it is happening. God's allowing certain things to happen. But he's getting his body to stand up strong. I believe that right now the body of Christ has never prayed so hard in their life. And the whole time, and warfaring like they've never warfared. See, because warfare has been taught now. People know how to warfare. They know how to bind and loose. We've been given the keys of the kingdom in the spirit realm and in the physical realm. Now, people need to just use them. And I believe that they're using them more than they've ever used them before. That's why the restraints is still there. That's why the exposure of wickedness is happening. But there's something that's happening also. God is marking his people. He's sealing his people. In fact, he tells them, he told the angels, go mark, seal my people. You can kill as many as you need to kill, but those that are sealed do not harm. So right now we are being marked of righteousness. There's a mark of righteousness going on his people. I mean righteousness. See, there's a difference between works of righteousness and fruits of righteousness. Does everybody understand? You could be doing all the right things, but have not the fruits. Because the intents of the heart is the most important thing. God said, deny yourself. That means deny this desire. The heart's desire to fulfill self. Go the extra mile. You know, people work 24 hours a day if they could to get money, thinking they're doing the righteous thing. But it's a works. It's not a fruit. There's a difference. There's a difference in the fruit and the work. Look, if many people are working for a future, your future is not here. It's here, up. Amen. We've worked for futures in the world. You and I do not have a future in this realm. It's an eternal future. That's why he says focus on eternity. Amen. And he's come to bring us life and life abundantly. But he also said something very powerful. He said, look it, if you're willing to let go of everything, I'll give you 100-fold and more on this while you're here now and at home when you go home. See, so many people are trying to build their house. And they're building it in vain. When the Lord says, unless the Lord builds a house, we labor not in vain. See, so there's such a fine line and a difference. And many don't get it. They're blinded to it. They just step over that line. And they go into self. And they manifest works of self, but the fruits of... And manifest the works of righteousness, but the fruits of righteousness has been nullified or dulled or weakened. Would you go to Romans chapter 3? And verse 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is what? Revealed. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all. And what? On all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. But it says something very powerful in verse 22. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all. That is the mark of righteousness. The mark of righteousness. Amen. It's his purpose. It's his desire. It's his righteousness. Hallelujah. We are marked. Those that are marked with righteousness. I don't know if you remember the old M&M commercial. When they're all playing poker. All these cowboys are playing poker. And they got a thing of M&M's there. And they're eating these M&M's. This guy picks up his cards and goes, these cards are marked! In other words, somebody who's cheating by allowing somebody marks of a chocolate on. These cards are marked. Well, we're marked. But see, the enemy knows we're marked. And he can't touch you unless you allow him to. Amen? Oh, Psalm 37, verse 37. Mark the what? Mark the what? Blameless man and observe the upright. For the future of that man is what? It's peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in a time of trouble. Are we in trouble all over the world? Yes, but he's our strength, isn't he? And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. The world is mocking God. And many of those who were marked by God at one time have lost the mark. And they're exchanging their mark for the mark of the beast and don't even know it. Again, there's a difference between works of righteousness and fruits of righteousness. That's why the Bible says faith without works is nothing. Amen? Works without faith is nothing. Works alone is not good enough. There's a difference between the works of righteousness and the fruits of righteousness. And many people are working on the works of righteousness without the fruits of righteousness and will not be accounted to them. Watch what happens here. In Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. For many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name. That's works of righteousness, isn't it? Amen. Wow. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice what? Lawlessness. So they had works of righteousness, but they didn't have fruits of righteousness. And this is what's separating right now in the body. These are ones God is marking. Those who carry the fruits of righteousness, not the works of righteousness. I never knew you. No fruit. Philippians 1:9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Listen, he warns us about offense. He says offense will affect the fruits of righteousness. Amen? In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 7. If you what? Endure. Everybody needs endurance. Amen? If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we've had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them what? Respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chasten us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of what? Righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Now, this is so powerful. In other words, those willing to accept the correction, rebuke, and counsel will produce fruits of righteousness. Why? Because God's removing those things that could cause them offense to themselves and others. He's removing, he's exposing, he's correcting them. If you can't accept correction, the Bible says you're stupid. He calls them stupid. Again, accepting correction produces fruits of righteousness. Amen? Ezekiel 9, verse 1. Hallelujah. Then he called out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, let those who have charge over the city draw near, each with a deadly weapon in his hand. And suddenly six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces the north, each with a battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen and had a writer's ink horn at his side. Then they went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherubim where it had been to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed with the linen who had the writer's ink horn in his side. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within. Think about how many people are crying and sighing and I don't want to say complaining, but are hitting the throne room of God and exposing and asking for judgment in the world right now. Look at how many people, families are hurt. Look at, let me tell you something. One of the things that really I saw really affect a lot of people were the press. Some of the press that had gone into these places and saw the videos and saw the bodies and saw infant children with no heads. They couldn't believe how wickedness things could be. But it is. And it's being exposed globally. See, we have technology now that everyone in the world can see it. It's all about God's timing. In verse 5, and to the others he said in my hearing, go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your eye spare nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young men, maidens and little children and women. But do not come near anyone on whom is the mark. And begin at my what? Sanctuary. So they began with the elders who were before the temple. Woo! Then he said to them, defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. Go out. And they went out and killed in the city. So it was that while they were killing them, I was left alone. And I fell on my face and I cried out. And I said, oh Lord God, will you destroy all the remnants of Israel in pouring out of your fury on Jerusalem? Then he said to me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great. And the land is full of bloodshed and the city full of perversity. For they say, the Lord has forsaken the land. And the Lord does not see. And as for me also, my eye will neither spare nor will I have pity, but I will recompense their deeds on their own head. Then just then, a man clothed with linen, who had the inkhorn at his side, reported back and said, I have done as you have commanded me. What did he do? They went out and marked what? The righteous. On their foreheads. And the rest were killed and destroyed. This will come during the time of the Great Tribulation. But you can see some of the things happening right now. It's happening right now. Jerusalem, Israel, is being judged right now. Why? Because God wants to rescue Israel from his wrath. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Hallelujah. What is God saying? Get your house in order. Mark of righteousness. Therefore, putting away what? Lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer. But rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who is in need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not what? Grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed or you are marked for the day of redemption. He warns us not to grieve him. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We are sealed, mark of righteousness, for the completion of salvation's redemption. It is a warning, not grieving the Holy Spirit. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 through 5. Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Why? Because you're marked with righteousness. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you. His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light. The kings of to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar. Your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant. And your heart shall swell with joy. Because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. And the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. This is God's promise. During what? During the worst times of ever. During the darkest times. We are reaching that area. Kim Clement, prophet, said that the wealth of the wicked be turned over to the righteous. And that the righteous are going to say, why now? How can this happen now? This is the strangest time for the righteous to have the wealth now. Why? Because it is the darkest times. But those who get it will know what to do with it. It won't be about a self-building operation. It'll be about a Joseph operation to build for rescue. Oh, hallelujah. We are so close. You heard the saying, so close, but yet so far. Second Timothy chapter 4. God has a purpose and a plan and a reason why. And sometimes he's not going to tell you. He's just going to ask you to trust him. 90% of the time. Hallelujah. Or maybe 99% of the time. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. I charge you therefore, brethren, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be what? Watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So you've got to first get a mark of righteousness before you can get the crown of righteousness. Amen? But that is the final reward. In Psalm 9, mark of righteousness. These are not ashes on the forehead. They're not red dots on the forehead. They're not crosses that are tattooed on the forehead. These are not marks physically that are apparent. These are fruits of righteousness that have been sustained, maintained, where God has marked you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those other items are self-righteous marks. In verse 6, let's speak it together. Oh, yeah. Oh, enemy, destructions are finished forever, and you have destroyed cities. Even their memory has perished, but the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Wow. God's going to judge the world in what? Righteousness. So if you're sealed, marked by righteousness, will you be judged? You're already judged. Does everybody understand it? Why? Because you've already been judged. You've already accepted the mark of righteousness. You are considered righteous in the eyes of God. He will not need to judge you. Remember, Paul said, I don't even judge myself. Who are you to judge me? I am judged by who? God. Because he's a real. See, when you have a relationship with the Lord, you're judged every moment. Amen? He's before you no matter what. His presence is conviction. I mean, when you're really in a relationship with the Lord, his presence is conviction. You're not doing something that's going to displease him or be disobedient. Doesn't mean you won't make a mistake. But you're going to do things that want to please him. Amen? Not because you're trying to earn your way to heaven. Because you love him. Because you're grateful for the new life and all the things you've learned that are so awesome and true. For opening your eyes to the other side. For knowing that there is another side. And when you're walking in the world and you see all the destruction and the blindness and the people that have been demonized and taken possession and addicted, it's a terrible thing. And you're so grateful. Thanking God it isn't you, but it was us at one time. Deceived. Amen. But now that we know the truth, let's not take advantage of it and count freedom as an opportunity to sin. Hallelujah. Psalm 11. This is not 7-11, it's 11-7. You can't buy anything from here. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. So his countenance is on those who are marked with righteousness. Amen? That's why we don't want to grieve the Spirit. Psalm 15, verse 1. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle or in your presence? Who may dwell in your holy hill or in your presence? He who walks what? Uprightly. Who works righteousness. Now, hallelujah, this is good. See, who walks upright. In other words, who produces the fruit of righteousness. And whose works are righteous. And speaks the truth in his own heart. In other words, doesn't let his heart or emotions deceive him. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, and whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. In other words, he'd rather take condemnation from people, accusation, criticism, but not change. Just because they don't, why? Just because they don't understand you. So many people change with offense and so forth. It's incredible. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. Sticks and stones might break my bones, but your words ain't going to hurt me. They're not going to penetrate. Amen. He who does not put out his money at usury or try to bribe anyone, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved or backslide. Here's a guideline right here. Psalm 15. You never want to backslide again? Follow this guideline. Amen? Maintain the mark of righteousness. See, one of the things I really believe that the Spirit is bringing to us is a more understanding and a separation. In other words, between the tare and the wheat, between the generic and genetic. The wannabes and the willabes. Psalm 18, verse 20. The Lord rewarded me according to my what? Righteousness. Oh. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, my level maintaining the righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands. Ooh. He has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were what? Before me. Oh, I love it. I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. You want big rewards? God's got them. But we don't do things for rewards. Amen. We do things that bring glory to his name. We want to drop as many crowns before him as possible. Oh, yes, Revelation 13. Be consistent and be sober in all things. Be alert. Be watchful. Amen. In verse 11, Revelation 13, verse 11, let's speak it. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. Hallelujah. I've seen some of these people on the news. They were, Karens. Now they call them Karens. That are, they're Democrats, you know, that are demonized people. Verse 12. And he exercises all the authorities of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Now you know this is artificial intelligence. Amen. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. Many will exchange the mark of righteousness for the mark of the beast, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Now, it's a binary number. But anyways, we're not going to get into all that. Many, again, will exchange their marks of righteousness for the mark of the wickedness to save their life. That, in other words, during that period of time, if anyone is left behind during that period of time or prior to that, we don't know. We may still be here when some of this is happening. But we won't accept that mark because we might be removed just right after that mark is being released. Amen? But many people will give into the mark. They'll exchange the mark of righteousness for the mark of the beast. And they'll begin to worship the artificial intelligence. Chapter 14, verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image and whoever receives the mark of his name." Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and faith in Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, "Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." Again, we are in a time of judgment. We are in a time of awakening. We are in a time of shaking and quaking. We are in a time of separation. We are in a time of sifting. God is separating the wheat, amen, from the tare, the righteous from the wicked, the counterfeit from the true. Those who's living to serve God and do His purpose from those who are living to serve themselves. There will be a difference between those who are marked of righteousness and those who are not marked at all. You will see the difference, and it's going to be exploded more and more and more. As darkness continues to cover, many will fall into darkness and you'll see their fruits. But you'll see the light shine on those who are righteous. They'll maintain a peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. They won't get caught up into the darkness because darkness doesn't comprehend light. And when you fall into it, you can't comprehend light yourself then. We must be careful now to fulfill and complete the assignments of God, to be alert, awake, and live for Him and not ourselves. Amen. Don't let the enemy steal your mark. Don't make the exchange. He can't steal it. You can only exchange it. Amen? If you're influenced. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We're honored and blessed. I ask that you protect and seal the words that were imparted in us today, that we may be alert, vigilant, and consistent to maintain righteous fruits and righteous works for your glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.